Times when there's loss of a loved one in our extended family, church family, I think with our prayers and love and support for the family, it seems to me to be important that we just go on with our worship of our God and the God of all eternity, just expressing our faith and our hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And so in memory of those who names have been mentioned lost this week that have been lost in our extended family, I think in memory of a great woman of faith and family, Martha Cummings, the mother of our own Nolan Cummings, who has children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and her sister Verna that's a part of our church family, I think in memory of her and that great lady of faith, we're going to go on to just express our faith as we worship, as we had planned for today, holding the Cummings family and the Hostetter family in our hearts and in our prayers. We're going to worship in the Word of God. I even thought about the next five pictures I'm going to show you that are not a part of my sermon. And decided that they might even fit because several months ago, my daughter called me one day unexpectedly, and after we had lost her father-in-law, and she said, "Dad, when are you going to Alaska? I need to make some special memories with you that I can have." And so even the pictures that I'm going to show you, I think, fit into this whole feeling of life goes on and we lose those eventually that we love, don't we? But not without hope. Someone told me a little while ago, they said, "Your sermon may be entitled Good Morning, Charlie Brown," but they said, "I bet there's a bear in there somewhere." And so let's get the bears out of the way. I'm only going to show you one mother bear and her babies in five pictures, and then we're going to get into the message. This mother bear was kind of the climax of an eventful 14 days for Shereen and I that included being stranded in the Katmai wilderness with no knowledge of when we might be able to get flown out of there, and eventually we had to hike right through the middle of 30 great big grizzly bears and wade through three rivers to get to a lagoon where the plane could drop in and pick us up. And I think one of Shereen's favorite expressions, I pointed to one bear and I told the guy, "That guy will be 9 foot tall if he stands up," and he said, "He'll be a lot taller than that." So we was looking at a 10 foot or 11 foot bear, one of Shereen's favorite expressions day after day in all our unique experiences is, "Oh my goodness, look at that. Oh my goodness, look at that." So I'm going to show you the final bear that we saw. Can we see the picture of the mother bear and a couple of the babies? Awesome picture, isn't it? Looks like she just posed there. We found that mother bear, four babies. I've always wanted to see a mother bear with several babies. Four babies. Across the harbor from Valdez, and we were within 20 to 30 foot of that mother bear for over an hour. Incredible experience. She had four babies. The next picture, I think maybe only three of them are there. One of them may be in the shadow. So there's the mother bear, and probably all four of those babies, perhaps in that picture, and they put on a tremendous show for us. We stayed there for an hour and put on a tremendous show. One of those little guys decided that he was itching on the chin. Watch him as he scratches. Isn't that an incredible picture? And two of the little guys decided they wanted to dance for us. And so, next picture. There's two little baby bears dancing and wrestling. Incredible time. And then the mother bear again, as she was searching for food, she was still nursing those babies. She was out there wandering along there 20, 30 feet from us, trying to find what she could eat. And That's the bears for this morning. I got them in, Mickey. You said you knew I'd do it somehow. Can we go to the sermon title? Good morning, Charlie Brown. Right out of the comics. Maybe one of the most serious sermons you will ever hear from me, right out of the comics. You know, early in my ministry, I was a young and immature kid. And I was with my two of my brothers at a ministerial council. We were rooming together, and we got up one morning, went into the restaurant for breakfast, and one of my old minister friends, an elderly fellow, was sitting there at the breakfast table eating his breakfast, and he had the newspaper open, and I looked over, and he's reading the comics. And I said to my brothers, I said, "Looky there, Israel Hager gets his sermons right out of the comics." And we all laughed, and he laughed, and we had a good time over that, but he looked up with a smile, and he said, "You know," he said, "I find a lot of good sermon material in the comics." And I thought about that over the years, and I've never done this in 45 years now of preaching, but I finally have gone to the comics for a sermon. And this one was just too good to pass by without a sermon. And so here's my sermon. We can have picture one. I think this is Linus. I'm not good on these names of these characters, but I think this is Linus. And they're evidently on their way to school. And Linus meets up with Charlie Brown, and he says, "Good morning, Charlie Brown." And Charlie Brown responds with kind of a funny look on his face, "Good morning." And picture two, a little puzzled. Charlie Brown, a little puzzled, says, "Do you mind if I ask you a question?" He says, "What in the world is that? What in the world is that?" he says. And Linus answers, he said, "This is a yoke." He said, "I'm going to use it for a special school report." And now here's where we begin to get into the good sermon material today. "I'm going to use it for a special school report." And Linus's school report becomes an awesome scriptural sermon that we want to take a look at here this morning. Picture three. Now, if you're confused, this is not a YOLK. It's not breakfast. That's YOLK. We're talking about a YOKE. Next slide. A YOKE, a yoke. A yoke is something that binds us to something or someone. A yoke is something that oftentimes brings us under the command of somebody. Like these four oxen, you got two of them yoked together in two teams and harnessed together, and they're pulling a wagon. And the guy who's driving the wagon can control the oxen and go where he wants to go. So that's a yoke. A yoke may be literal, or a yoke may be figurative. We can take a literal yoke and put it on an animal, or we can also put a figurative yoke on people and things, and they become controlled in that way. Picture five. Linus says to Charlie Brown, he says, "I'm going to tell how this yoke is a symbol of one individual to another, like Esau to Jacob." Now, The story, and I'm going to brief up the first part of this because when we get to the climax of this, it becomes a terrific message from the Bible. The story here is, if you remember from the biblical stories, Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau was the firstborn. And Esau had the rights of the firstborn, the blessing from his father Isaac of the firstborn. And in those days, those were very important. Often the blessing of the father was prophetic. Whatever he said is the way the child's life went. And Jacob was a farmer. Esau was a hunter. Esau went hunting one day all day long. Didn't kill anything. And he came home so hungry, and Jacob was stewing up a good pot of soup. Esau was so hungry that in the bargain that went on, he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And I want to tell you folks that sometimes it is so easy. It is so easy to sell our birthright in the kingdom of God. It's easy for us sometimes to give up that which is the most special thing in our life for something that is very temporary and only satisfying for a little while. So cheaply sometimes people sell their birthright to the kingdom of God. Then, picture 6. Then Linus said, I'll tell that the yoke was sometimes placed literally on the necks of a person, reduced to submission. My reference will be Jeremiah 28 and 10. And in that story, it's about Nebuchadnezzar, and it's about the kingdoms he ruled and the heavy burdens that he placed on them. They were yoked. They were under his direction as king, and they were yoked to all of these heavy bondage and burdens that he placed upon them. And I want to tell you folks that it's easy for us sometimes to be yoked and burdened down heavy. I'm burdened down sometimes heavy with the way our government and our nation and some of the things that are going on. It's easy for us to be yoked to some of those things. And the prophet said someday that yoke will be broken. And so when we feel the heavy burden of some things that are on us, it is very important that we do well, that we don't give up, that we keep on serving God, that we don't let those things change the person that we are, because someday that yoke will be broken. And then in picture 7, he says, then I'm going to tell of the yoke that was placed on Israel by Solomon and Rehoboam. This story that is there is that Solomon extended his kingdom. Solomon reigned over the largest kingdom that Israel ever was. He extended his kingdom, but he put heavy bondage on the people to do it. When Solomon died, Rehoboam became king. And the elders consulted with Rehoboam, and they said, you should lighten the burden, it's too heavy. And the young men that were around Rehoboam said, make it heavier, take more from the people. And Rehoboam listened to the young people, and he put this heavy, heavy burden upon the people of Israel. They were yoked to bondage under him. You know, we're putting some awful yokes on the next generation. You know, our national debt is a sinful disgrace to pass on to our kids and grandkids. We're yoking them. We're yoking them with something that they probably can never escape from. We get those heavy yokes, and sometimes we pass them on to the next generation. And it's unfair for us to do that, to yoke people with things that we should have taken care of ourselves. And then we're getting to what's my real sermon for the day. Linus tells Charlie Brown. He said, then I'm going to tell you about the yoke of sin that's suggested in Lamentations 1 and verse 14. Now, I want to just tell you what's in that verse without going to it. In that passage of Scripture, it says, the yoke of my transgression. Now, listen to this. It says, the yoke of my transgression is bound by His hand, made into a wreath, and hung about my neck. Folks, to wear the yoke of our transgression, sin, until the day we face God in judgment will make a sad ending to life. We know that sin is a human problem, don't we? We know what the Bible says about it. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It tells us the tremendous wages that people are going to pay for their sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. And God said, that's a wreath hanging around my neck with the wages of death. And if I go all the way to the judgment of God with that wreath around my neck, my sin and my transgression, then I can only expect the wages of sin to be paid to me. Sin is a human problem. We've all sinned, and its wages is death. Yoked to our sin, it carries the wages of death. And there's only one remedy for that sinfulness, only one way that the wreath can be broken and removed from around my neck. It's so beautifully written in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I want you to look at these verses. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sin, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Folks, there's only one remedy for my sinfulness. There is no other remedy. There's only one remedy for my sinfulness. The wreath that God that's around my neck because of my transgression. I transgressed, and the wreath was hung around my neck. It was sin that I had committed and done until I came to the Lord and found forgiveness under the blood of the Lord Jesus. And that, folks, brings us to the very focal point of this school report by Linus. He said, after I tell you about all these yokes and the bondage, and after I explain to you the yoke of sin, then he said, I'm going to tell you about the easy yoke that we find in Matthew 11 and verse 29. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11 and begin in verse 27 and read the part of this school report that Linus is ready to present and illustrate with a yoke that he's wearing. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27 through 29, or verse 27 through 30. Let's go all the way through 30. All things, listen to this, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, this easy yoke is the need of all humanity. The great invitation of Jesus to all to come to God our Father through Him and experience His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and to break the bondage of sin's yoke upon us and take His easy yoke and experience this great salvation. Yoke ourselves to Christ so that we can walk with Him through life as our guide. Next picture, I want you to look at what Linus says then. Linus says, I think this will cover the subject pretty well. Isn't that amazing? I think this will cover the subject pretty well. Folks, to lead us through all of those other yokes, to tell us about what bad decisions will yoke us to tell us the wages of our sin, to explain to us the heavy burden of yokes that's placed upon us in this world, and then to bring us to the easy yoke of Christ and explain it to us. And Linus says, I think that will cover the subject pretty well. How do you think Charlie Brown is going to respond to this? How do you think Charlie Brown is going to react? He's been told about bad decisions that yoke us. He's been told about the bondage that the world puts us in. He's been told about sin and its consequences. And he's been told that the only answer to that is Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed to break the bondage of sin and set us free. How do you think Charlie Brown is going to respond? How are you going to respond to this message? How are you going to respond to this message this morning? How do you think Charlie Brown is going to respond? Let's look at picture 9. Charlie Brown has a puzzled look on his face. He's upset. He's just been explained to him that he's a sinner that needs the grace of God. And he's upset. And he says, what about the yoke of inferiority that you've given me? So many people are like Charlie Brown. When told about the bad choices that yoke us up and hold us back from God, that hold us in bad things in our life, when told about sin and its consequences and its internal consequences, so many of us are like Charlie Brown. We hear the message, but turn away from making the right response. I think a lot of people are like the ruler Felix, who wanted to hear from Paul the message. And when Paul had explained to him about Jesus and his need for Christ, and Felix had listened to the message, and the Bible says that Felix spoke up to Paul and he said, Paul, he said, just go your way. Some more convenient day, I'll call you. I think a lot of us are like King Agrippa. You know, Paul was taken before King Agrippa. And he took the opportunity when he went before the king as a prisoner to share Christ with King Agrippa. He told him about the message, told him about his need, told him what sin's consequences were, told him all about those things. And King Agrippa's response was, almost, you have persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost. You have persuaded me to be a Christian. Someone wrote a song that captured both of those stories. It goes like this. It says, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go your way. Some more convenient day on the alcohol." Almost persuaded, "Come, come today." Almost persuaded, "Turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Come. Come unto me," he said, "all you that labor and are heavy laden with those bondages. Just come unto me and lay them down at my feet, and we'll break the bonds and set you free." Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near, and prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. And then the song goes all the way to the judgment of God. And it says, almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. And sad, sad, the bitter wail. Almost is lost. So many people are like Charlie Brown. Hear the message. Do nothing about it. Some more convenient day I'll do it. When I get through doing all this, I'll do it. Charlie Brown heard the message. He heard the report. He heard the bad news of what sin does in our life. He heard the good news that it can be set free through Christ Jesus. He heard all of that, but he turned sadly away. And what about you and I? And what is our response today? Let's go back to the easy yoke. Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, and read it again. Back to the easy yoke and read it again, where it says, "But all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son shall be revealed." That tells you how important Christ is. Only through Jesus can you break the bondage of sin and find God. And so Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." That's because the bondage of sin is broken, and we're forgiven. He said, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You see, the bondage of sin is gone. Its wages, its consequences, the eternal death is gone when you accept the great invitation of Jesus. What an invitation. Being yoked to our sinfulness and bondage is a burden that's too heavy to bear to the judgment seat of God. Jesus says, "Come and lay it down." Jesus says, "Just bring it. Just bring it and lay it down at the foot of the cross. All you got to do. Just come and lay it down at the foot of the cross." The yoke, the bondage, the consequences of our sin is taken care of, he said, here. Where we take this yoke and yoke our lives to Jesus Christ. So that in the blood of Christ's sacrifice, as the Scripture says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, yes, the easy yoke releases us from the bondage of sin in the world, and it brings our life into harmony with Jesus Christ. Will the praise team come and take your place and be ready? While the praise team comes, I want to show you one more picture. We can have that, Jason. One more picture. And here's what I want you to do. Would you stand with me? Here's what I want you to do very simply. I want you to see Christ on one side of that yoke. And I want you to slip your life into the other side right now. While we just meditate and think, can you see Jesus on one side of that yoke and just put your life right into the other and you yoke your life to Christ this morning? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Slip your life into the yoke. Slip it right in beside Christ. Right in beside Christ. So that your life is in harmony with Jesus as you go through the struggles of all the yokes of the world. Your life is in harmony with Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. There it is. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want you to be able to say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie. In pastures green, he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so. Slip your life in. I found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night, where living waters flow. My soul crieth out, restore me again, and give me the strength to take the narrow path of righteousness in for his own name's sake. Yea, though I should walk the valley of death, yet why should I fear from ill? For thou art with me, yoked to Christ. Thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. His yoke is easy. Slip your life in there. Would you? Walk with Christ today. Just make a commitment to slip your life in there beside Jesus. And be yoked to him. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I've found it so. I've found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night where living waters flow. I want you to bow your heads, and we're going to have prayer, and your song's going to be the conclusion, Johnny. Bow your heads with me, and let's have prayer together. Heavenly Father, what a tremendous school report about yokes. What a great Bible message. How firmly and surely that Linus pointed out the struggles of humanity with the yokes that bind, and then led them to the yoke that breaks all the others. The easy yoke of Christ. Father, I pray today that there won't be one person who will leave this worship time without having slipped their life into the yoke beside Jesus, so that they can truly say, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so. Father, may you bless our congregation. Help us to be so yoked to Jesus that nothing will disturb us. So firmly committed to our walk with the Lord, that we yoked ourselves to Him, beside Him, to walk with Him, to let Him guide us. Father, my prayer is that everyone here will hear the message, that there won't be anybody like Charlie Brown or Felix the Ruler or Agrippa the King, that all of us that are gathered here will take our place beside Jesus and be happily, wonderfully yoked to Him to lead us through our life. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.